Recently, a 2,000-plus page report was released by the Connecticut State Colleges and Universities system. This was put together by former Chancellor Terrence Chang, who, by the way, his contract is officially up, so he is no longer with CSCU. But according to ChatGPT, that report was at least 80% written by artificial intelligence. And what was probably one of the most alarming parts of this, besides all the controversy surrounding Terrence Chang, who, again, is no longer with CSCU. He was removed as chancellor last year. He became an advisor, if that's the best way to put it. I don't even really know what he was doing. He was making more than $400,000 a year. And Governor Lamont came on my show and said, Melissa, wait for the report to come out. Wait for the report to come out before you criticize what he's doing, even though he, again, it was proven in an audit that he was misspending using the P card when he was chancellor. And I said, do you think it's justified to make that kind of money over a year? And he said, wait for the report to come out. Well, we did. And the report came out. And the majority of it was artificial intelligence generated. And so what was interesting, or probably one of the most shocking things, was Governor Lamont was quoted by another news source here in Connecticut saying, basically, what's the big deal? Everybody uses AI at work. And that was kind of alarming to me, because if we're starting to say, hey, you know, who cares for $400,000? Who cares that most of it was AI? It doesn't rub people the right way, especially if it's your tax dollars paying for that job, which is what we were doing. So I wanted to talk about artificial intelligence just in general in the workplace, because it's not all bad. I'd be lying to you if I told you I have not used ChatGPT in this job, but not 80%, maybe 5%, maybe. And that's on a good day. So I wanted to talk more about artificial intelligence and where is that line of, you know, is it worth paying people when you know they can use AI? How do we detect when AI is being used? When is it justified to use AI at work? And how much do we need in education surrounding artificial intelligence really now more than ever? So we have Dr. Vahid Bezadun back with us, who's our artificial intelligence expert on the show, cybersecurity over at University of New Haven, and somebody who at the state level is very focused on AI right now. So Vahid, welcome back.
Good morning, Melissa. Glad to be back.
I'm so glad you were willing to talk about this, because it's all over. I'm not asking really your opinion on the specific CSCU, so don't worry. I'm not going to have you get controversial. But I do think it leads to a very interesting conversation, because what the governor said is significant. Everyone can use AI at work, and a lot of places already are doing it. To me, it's not all bad, but it is something we need to focus on, because to me, that could be a real kind of crutch statement. Like, well, AI, it's part of the workforce, so it is what it is. I don't know if people are satisfied with that, though.
Well, if you ask me, is it really that bad to use AI to write a report? I would say, well, if someone told me they use AI to help organize and draft a 2,000-page report, I wouldn't find that surprising at all. You know that I'm really big on AI use in most functions. I use AI in my own work, research, writing quite regularly. And today it's very commonly used to summarize documents, organize information, draft initial text, and so on. The issue isn't the tool. It's the oversight. Whether 5% or 95% of the words originated from AI is actually a lot less important than whether every important claim, recommendation, citation, et cetera, received careful human review. AI can absolutely write text. However, at the end of the day, it cannot take responsibility for the recommendation. So when the government says a lot of people use AI, he is right. A lot of people do use AI, and in many cases, in my opinion, that's a good thing. But there's a spectrum. AI, using AI to help you work faster and more efficiently is one end. Delegating your core deliverable to AI without robust validation is the other.
Right. Well, but I even think when you said, you know, 5% versus 95%, I mean, sure. So if in fact if allegedly, which has never been proven, but let's just say, Terrence Chang really did do the work that Governor Lamont says he did. He went to all these different states and he collected all this data and so on and so forth. Why would your report be 80 to 95% AI generated? So like I could understand if you're like, hey, I've got all this information, so here, write a report. Is that what they're saying is 80 to 95% AI generated, that he really did do 11 months worth of work and then he put it into AI and was like, here, do something with it? Or are we talking about, hey, I'm going to claim I did all this work, but really I went to AI and was like, here, what's every state in America doing about higher ed affordability? And now let me put it into a report. See the discrepancy there? Those are two very different things.
They are. But before going there, I really quickly want to point out that the 80% number is neither the most important part of this conversation nor as reliable a finding as you might think. As you mentioned, it will probably never become forensicable how much of that report was generated by AI. This is actually one of the biggest misconceptions about AI right now. AI detectors are useful as screening tools, but they are not forensic evidence. There are research papers and theorems that prove that detecting and identifying AI-generated text can never be 100% accurate. What these tools produce are probabilities based on writing patterns, and different detectors often disagree. The tools that were used by the investigators, journalists in this case, are actually known to be relatively unreliable in detecting AI patterns. So I'd be careful about treating any specific number as established fact. What we do know is that the author acknowledged using AI. That's actually more important than any detector result. And it means the conversation should shift to a more meaningful question. Was AI used in a way that preserved the quality and accountability of the report?
Yes, this, in my that's opinion, what I want to know.
This leads to your second question. So if I recall correctly, the spokesperson for CSCU mentioned that the author, former chancellor, had disclosed the use of AI in collecting information and copy editing. But all the claims were validated or something along those lines. I tend to think of this in my own research context. If I were given this project, I would probably ask one of my research assistants to help with curating some of the facts and information. And that research assistant would come up with a report, and I would review that report and validate the references, validate the sources, and then I would compile the findings or integrate the findings into the narrative I was trying to compose as part of the research report. Now, it's becoming more and more common for the survey part of the research to be outsourced to AI. However, in many established academic norms or research norms, it's absolutely vital to disclose the use of AI in performing that research task. And the disclosure goes beyond saying that I've used this tool. It needs to specifically state how the tool was used, how the findings were validated, so that when the end result, the report comes out, other people know how to reproduce the same outcome to validate it.
Vahid Bezadun is here, who is our AI expert on the show. And following the report regarding CSCU and a 2,000-page report made by former Chancellor Terrence Chang, we had questions about AI use at work. And I think the big thing here, Vahid, is that, first of all, I think you explain that so well. Can I just say, you do such a good job explaining things. But
thank you.
You saying it makes me feel like, okay, well, thank God I have Vahid to explain that to me. The average person who hears that AI is being used at work, I mean, it's funny. Even me in the beginning, I'm like, do I tell people I use AI? Do I tell them? Because I know 9 times out of 10, anybody listening is like, oh, I'm going to shut that off because Melissa uses AI. No, it's me. I promise you. I am generating the content. I am generating the ideas. These are my interviews. I don't have questions from AI. None of that. But I will use AI, for example, to just see, you know, what are some of the top stories that people in Fairfield County are thinking about today? Something as simple as that, right? So that's something that has become a tool to make me, you know, really focus better on what are stories that people care about, for example. You know, and again, that's just an example. But just saying it, most people who listen are going to go, I don't like the fact that you would even use AI as a tool. There's so much, I think, misunderstanding around it. But also, there is that place of, you know, in school when you have to figure out if somebody plagiarized in a paper that they had to write or something, there is a little bit of that fear of, can you even tell that AI was used or not? I had that question a couple months ago. There was a release that Governor Lamont sent out, and it was in regards to our very high energy prices. I'm reading this release, Vahid. I know it's AI. I know it's AI because it doesn't sound like Governor Lamont at all. There was lingo in there that he's never said. It doesn't match him at all. The tone wasn't him. I could tell it was AI. Not that they said it was AI, but I could tell it was AI. And I just, I worry, you know, and I don't mean to be so all or nothing, but I think you've made a lot of valid points to help understand, like, okay, maybe it's not as bad as it sounds initially with, like, the CSCU report, but there is a lack of, how do we know that things are, was it worth $400,000 to this guy to create this report? We don't really know, and I don't know if we're going to know. But the other part of it is, I think we just don't have the education around AI, and that should really start, to me, in like elementary, middle school. When we start figuring out plagiarism, we should start figuring out AI and when things have AI and when it's justified.
I absolutely agree with you on that. So AI literacy, like understanding what AI is, how it works at a basic level, and how to think critically about its output, can start as early as elementary school. That doesn't mean handing a third grader ChatGPT directly and let it be. It means age-appropriate conversations about how algorithms work, why your YouTube recommendations appear the way they do, how a voice assistant understands you, and by middle school, students should be engaging with AI tools directly with guidance. There was a pilot that took place last year, I believe, in 7 or 8 school districts. That pilot in Connecticut focused on grades 7 to 12, which is a reasonable starting point for a hands-on use. Now, in my opinion, AI literacy is the new digital literacy. 20 years ago, we debated whether to teach kids to use the internet. The debate is now settled. AI literacy is in the same place now. The question isn't whether, it's how and when. Students are already using these tools, but as you mentioned, a lot of them don't feel comfortable about disclosing, telling others that they are using those tools. That's partly because of foggy or unclear institutional policies and norms, particularly in schools and universities. But it's also because they were not exposed to responsible AI use guidelines or standards. The choices between teaching them responsible use or letting them learn by trial and error. And we know that the latter is probably not going to work out optimally.
So then, I mean, I know that we agree on this, certainly. So do we believe then that that should be an education priority, I think, for the state of Connecticut, that we create but get curriculum in schools, I would think, sooner rather than later? Because to your point, adults don't even have it all together. Like you just so accurately said, it is terrifying, honestly, for me to share with my audience that, yes, I will use AI, even in a very small snippet, but just to say it, nobody heard the rest of that sentence. All they heard was Melissa uses AI. I'm telling you right now, Vahidan,
I can help with that.
Tell me.
Whenever you use Google search, whenever you use your favorite social media platform, whenever you go on YouTube and search, whenever you use Google Maps, you're using AI.
Okay, so great. So we're all together. Okay. Haters are going to hate, but Vahid just kind of schooled you there. So there you go. You're using AI as you and I speak right now. So there you go.
Absolutely. But going back to your question, whether there is agreement that AI should be included in K-12 education here in Connecticut, there seems to be quite a wide and wide agreement and consensus in both communities and in the government agencies and committees responsible for policymaking around this. We know that I just mentioned the pilot. I think it was the CSD pilot that took place last year. And the report, I believe, either came out or is coming out, shows a very positive trend. However, one of the bigger issues is the teachers who teach about responsible AI use need to be trained in that particular subject matter. And where to put that in teacher training curricula is one of the bigger questions that's currently being discussed. Whether it should be included in the computer science teaching curriculum or whether it needs to be integrated in different subjects is something that I believe is still being debated.
Well, and I know, Vahid, you and I have talked about this off air, but it's something that you're very focused on as well, this idea of having more AI literacy starting even in the younger grades for K-12. And so definitely keep me posted on that. And I always appreciate having these conversations. And I know our WICC listeners do, too, because there's so many unknowns for the average person when it comes to AI. And you make it a little bit more understandable every time you come on the show and talk about it. So I thank you so much for your time and look forward to the next time we chat about AI, because it's going to happen sooner rather than later, I'm sure. Thank you so much.